The liturgy is not some church order that we follow just because it's traditional or historical. Rather, we retain the liturgy because simply it contains words from the Bible. Lots of them. The liturgy is filled with God's word. God speaks his divine oracles to man in the liturgy. Second, the liturgy is also called the divine service. The divine service. And it's called that because in this liturgy we receive a divine service from God. We receive a divine service from God whereby we receive his gifts. God gives you his gifts freely in the divine service. And so the divine service isn't about you serving God. Rather, it's about you coming as a broken and contrite sinner with nothing to give, but only to receive the divine gifts that God gives you. Gifts like redemption, consolation, salvation, and the forgiveness of sins in Christ. In the liturgy, in the divine service, Christ promises you that he is here. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Christ meets you in this divine service wherein he serves you. And I know, this is a radical concept to think you come to church not to give to God, but to receive. Those things that flow out of us, you know, like prayer, adoration, thanksgiving, hymns of praise, these wonderful things only flow out of what we first receive. In other words, we respond joyfully to having first and foremost receive divine gifts from our Lord and our God. Doesn't always seem this way. Sometimes you come to church feeling down in the dumps, and you leave feeling the exact same way. To that, let me just say it is okay. It is okay to feel sad in church. It's okay to cry in church. It's okay to be Christian and mourn in church. Our Lord Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn." Blessed are those who mourn, you shall be comforted. You may not always feel like you have received something from God in church, but let that not trouble you. Because God promises you, this is where he is, and he promises you to give you something. He promises to serve you forgiveness and life in Christ, and feelings cannot take that away. Praise be to God. According to your word, that's what Simeon says. According to God's word, you have exactly what he says you have. Simeon knew something about receiving gifts from God. The text says he was a righteous man. That means he believed. That means he believed in the words and promises of God. He was devout, and Simeon waited for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit had told him he would not see death until first he saw the Lord's Christ, and see him he would. Mary and Joseph come, according to Old Testament law and custom, after her days of purification were complete. They come to the temple and they come with a sacrifice. Birds. A mark of people too poor to afford the usual sacrifice of a lamb. Normally, for the postpartum mother, she was to bring a lamb after her days of purification, unless she couldn't afford a lamb, and then the law did allow them to bring a pair of turtle doves or a pair of pigeons. But little did Mary know, as she walked into the temple on that day, she did have a lamb. The lamb who would purify not just Mary, but the entire world. And Simeon takes this lamb, this Christ, into his arms, and when he does, he blesses God, realizing God has once again kept his promise. God kept his promise that his servant Simeon would see the Christ. This infant, this living, breathing infant, is the redemption of Israel. This child is the redemption of creation from the bondage of sin. A flesh and blood, living, breathing, crying child. This was the Lord's anointed one, sent from the Father to restore humanity. Simeon knows this. And he sings that canticle that we sing in the liturgy, the Nunc Dimittis. Simeon sings the Nunc Dimittis because he has in his arms the Christ. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Friends, Simeon is not just saying he can go home because his temple duty is done for the day. With these words, Simeon is saying he is prepared for death. He is prepared for death. He can depart in peace. Why? Because he has seen salvation. He has seen divine salvation in Christ, a gift that God gives. Today, we too sing the Nunc Dimittis because we too have received from God our salvation. And particularly, we sing the Nunc Dimittis after we receive the Lord's Holy Supper, where like Simeon, we encounter our God. Like Simeon, we too receive Christ. According to your word, that's what Simeon says. According to the word of God, we know what Jesus says about this gift, that bread and wine is his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. If that sounds mysterious to you, that's simply because it is. The Lord's Supper is a mystery. And so if you've ever wondered, I really don't understand that. All I can say is join the club. But friends, it is no more a mystery. It is no more a mystery than the person of Jesus himself, who is true God and true man, born in flesh and blood, yet the ruler of creation, ruling for eternity, cloaked in a human body, sent to save the world. That is a mystery. A mystery testified to boldly in Holy Scripture that we receive by faith. And so to deny the Lord's Supper, a gift from God, because you don't quite understand it, and to be consistent in that way of thinking, one must also deny the Christ, who confesses that he is true God and true man. He confesses to be the great I am before even Abraham was born. He confesses to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. A mystery just like the Lord's Supper, but one we embrace by faith. Speaking of the person of Jesus, we hear from the writer of Hebrews. We hear from the writer of Hebrews a description of our Lord Jesus. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Amen. This is who Simeon receives. In his arms, Simeon held the Christ, who partook of flesh and blood to destroy the power of death and deliver everyone subject to lifelong slavery. Now, Simeon will tell Mary, when she comes to the temple, he said, a sword will pierce your soul. A sword will pierce your soul, and the thoughts of many will be revealed. Now, some have thought this is a reference to Mary witnessing her son die at the crucifixion. And certainly not to take away any of the grief and pain Mary must have felt by watching this, that explanation doesn't quite account for those words of Simeon when he says the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Scripture compares the Word of God to a double-edged sword. The word that testifies to Christ and his work is like a sword, and it runs us through. What I mean by that is the Word of God demands our holiness. It demands perfection, and to those things we fall short. We all stumble at God's commands. And even those deep, dark, secret sins in our hearts are revealed by God. And so the writer of Hebrews, he isn't exaggerating. He's not exaggerating when he speaks of those subject to lifelong slavery. He's talking about sin, friends. He's talking about those spiritual chains of darkness wrapped tight around our bodies and there is no escape. Lifelong slavery. That's the phrase he uses. And he is talking about the bondage, the enslavement of sin from which there is no escape by yourself. The ball and chain of sin. You cannot free yourselves from that. You cannot by yourself break free from the prison that is sin. You're not strong enough. You're not strong enough. You cannot bust the chains of death that keep humanity in darkness and in bondage. Christ can, and he has done it. The child that Simeon holds in his arms would do just that. Destroy the bondage of sin. Free you from the bondage of death. He would even bring down he who has power of death, the devil, says the writer of Hebrews. And by doing these things, Christ gives you his consolation. Christ gives you peace. He gives you salvation precisely because he partook of flesh and blood to suffer and die to save you and guarantee you a spot in his kingdom. And so to conclude, when you sing the Nunc Dimittis today, you are singing the song of Simeon, who sung that because he knew by God's grace he was prepared for death. He had God's peace because his eyes had seen salvation. His eyes had seen the Christ. When you partake of the Lord's Supper, when you come to church and sit in this liturgy, you are receiving a divine service from God, in that you receive his forgiveness and you have his peace. And you have these things according to God's word. You have his absolution. You have his pardon. And you have these things because of the Christ, who is our great high priest. He is our great high priest who has taken upon our sins. He has shed his blood on the altar. He is the Holy of Holies who has shed his blood to pay for you, forever ripping that curtain between you and your God. The writer of Hebrews said he is a propitiation for our sins. Another way of saying Jesus will give himself as that great sacrifice for the sins of the world. He will give himself as a great sacrifice, absorbing God's wrath for sin, so that you and I can live freely and joyfully in the confidence that God has given you. The confidence of knowing you can depart in peace. You can live knowing whenever death comes, you can depart in God's everlasting peace. This is his work. This is God's divine service. And it is for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.